All right, brethren, Isaiah 43. Our subject this morning is Fear Not, I Am, I Will. Fear Not, I Am, I Will. Our text is Christ's word to us as the church as we go forth and preach the gospel. And this is his word. He says in verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world because there was no other way God's people could be saved from our sins and God's law be honored. The Son of God had to be made of a woman. He had to be made under the law. He had to be made sin for us. He had to be made a curse for us. And because he accomplished the redemption of his people and justified us and made us the righteousness of God, now he is made higher than the heavens. And that same justice that required the Son of God come down and do the work of justifying his people, the same justice now requires that all those that Christ redeemed, all those Christ justified, must be called to faith in Christ. God is just, and he will not pour out his wrath on his Son and then pour out his wrath on those for whom Christ died a second time. He won't do it. We already bore that wrath in Christ. So all those Christ redeemed must be called to life and faith because God is just. That's why, because God is just. Now, each one that of us that he's already called, he's assembled us as his church, and he's using us to preach him. He says there that he called us by name, and he said, "I created him for my glory. I formed him, yeah, I made him." He created us for his glory. And that means several things. One, Christ created us for the purpose that we personally give him all the glory in our salvation. And every single believer, true believer, does. We give God all the glory for our salvation, beginning to end, because he's the only one due that glory. And secondly, it means Christ created us for the purpose of using us to preach his glory. To preach the gospel, giving him all the glory, and he will, through that gospel, call out his chosen people. He's chosen us sheep, is what we're called. Foolish things, weak things, despised things, so that he gets all the glory in it. So that it's obvious that we didn't do the calling, he did it. It's obvious. And so as we preach Christ, we glory only in Christ. We give Christ all the glory. And so our Lord says to us, "Fear not. Fear not." And brethren, each time our Lord, he's told us three times up to this point to fear not. Since we began in Isaiah 40, going from there forward. And each time he has done this, each time he has said to you and me, "Fear not," it has been in regard to us not fearing men, but rather fearing the Lord and giving him the glory as we preach Christ. That's what it's been in relation to each time. And that's what it's in relation to in our text. Let's go back just a minute to Isaiah 41. I want you to see the first place he said this. First place he said this. In Isaiah 41, I'm saying the first place he said it in this series since we started in Isaiah 40. As we preach Christ, he warned us, sinners will war against us. Sinners will war against us. But he promises to keep us fearing him by the work that Christ will work toward those that reject him. Now get this, he'll keep us glorying only in him. And that's what it is. When you fear him, you glory only in him. When you glory in him, it's because you fear him, Christ. And he'll keep us glorying in him by the work he works toward those that reject him. And he'll do this using you and me. This is why we have to have him speak affectionately in our heart and command us in the heart, fear not. It's the only way, otherwise we would just wilt. Because there's so much opposition. Now look, Isaiah 41:10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." He says there at the end of verse 12, "They'll war against thee, but they shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught." And here's why. Verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And he says there, "I'm going to make you a sharp threshing instrument having teeth." He's saying he's going to use us to preach the gospel. I'm just reviewing. We've seen this, so I won't go into detail. But as we preach this gospel, he says, verse 16, "Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away." And the Lord will do this. And he says, "And the whirlwind shall scatter them." And he says, "And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel." You see, he's going to make us not fear men, but glory only in him by the work he works through his gospel. By the work he works through his gospel. And this is important. This is so vital, brethren, because listen, whoever we fear is who we glory in. Whoever you fear is who you glory in. The fear of man, when you fear man, it's what makes religious folks deny Christ. The fear of man. It's why preachers, some preachers won't stand up and preach Christ. They fear man. It's why some people won't believe Christ. They fear man. You remember whenever the blind man that our Lord gave sight, his parents knew Christ gave him sight. They knew that was their son. They knew he'd been born blind, and they knew Christ gave him sight. And they brought them into the synagogue, and the Pharisees questioned him, and they said, they denied knowing Christ did it. They said this. They said, "He's of age, let him answer for himself." Why did they do that? It said, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." It said at the Feast of Tabernacles, men were all talking about the Lord Jesus Christ amongst themselves. And it said, "Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews." It says in John 12:42, "Among the chief rulers also, many believed on Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." You see, the fear of man will make you deny Christ. And if you fear man, you're saying, you're giving that man or men glory, saying they're more powerful than Christ. But if you fear the Lord and glory in him, you're saying, "I'm not fearful of man. He's got all power. He's doing the saving." Can a sanctified, holy child of God fall into this? Yes. The Apostle Peter, you know why he got up from the Gentiles' table and moved to the Jews' table? It said, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. That's the Apostle Peter. Brethren, Christ created us for his glory. That's why he created us. And he's using us to preach him in this world. And so he says, fear not. And by his works, by what he works in our midst, he will make us glory only in him. That's what he said there in that text at the end. When you see what I do through the preaching of this word, you shall glory only in the Lord. That's what it is to fear him. He said in Matthew 10:27, if you want to look there, Matthew 10:27. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you up on the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. They just sold for a penny. And they won't even fall without your father. He said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You see, he's going to keep us glorying in him by fearing him alone and not fearing men. All right, secondly, in Isaiah 43, this is the second time he told us to fear not. And it was in relation to trials. And he said there, we just looked at it recently, so I won't read the whole thing. But he said there, he reminds us, he says, fear not, for I've redeemed thee. He said, I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. So when you pass through the waters, it won't overflow you. When you pass through the fire, it's not going to burn you. It won't even kindle upon you, he said. Fear not, he said. Why did Nebuchadnezzar throw those children into the fire? Why did he throw the three Hebrew men into the fiery furnace? A hatred for Christ and his gospel. What I'm trying to show you is when our Lord says, fear not, it's in relation to us preaching the gospel and the opposition you'll receive from preaching the gospel. And he says here, when you go through the trial, and most of the trials that the early church faced, that Apostle Paul faced, most of them were because of the hatred in men's heart, the natural man's heart for Christ and for his gospel. That's mostly what they suffered for in the beginning. And it's because when you preach the gospel, you give Christ all the glory. All the glory. The Lord said the reason that he saved through the foolishness of preaching, he said in 1 Corinthians 1, is so that no flesh shall glory in his presence. And when we declare what it says there, of God are you in Christ. That means before the foundation of the world, God chose his people in Christ, not because of anything in us. And that means that if a person believes God and trusts Christ, it's because of God are you in Christ. And it says, who of God, Christ of God, through the word being preached, Christ of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That takes everything out of the hands of a man. That declares Christ is everything we need to come into God's glory. So as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. But when you preach this, because it does take all the work out of a man's hand, and it turns all the focus from man and from man's works to Christ and his works, Paul said, the carnal mind's enmity against God. And they mind the things of the flesh. And man wants to hear a gospel that puts the focus on him and his works. That's what you hear preached all over the world. In Christianity and in other kinds of religion. Every religion's the same, whether it goes under the heading of Christianity or not. It's either works or the other one true religion, which is grace. There's only two in the world. They all put a man give a man something to do. And so men will listen to this gospel of Christ, but it doesn't take long, and they will say, well, when are you going to start preaching about me? When are you going to focus this on me and my works? And when you don't, when you keep preaching Christ, that enmity will come out. And so our Lord says, when you face these fiery trials, and you're going to face them, he said, fear not, I am with you. They're not going to burn you. They're not going to overflow you. I'm with you, he said. We saw this Thursday night. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, because of what I've spoken, the gospel he preached, he said the Pharisees had no cloak for their sin anymore. And he said, and because I did the works no other man did, his perfect works that he did in saving his people, he said they have no more cloak for their sin. By his gospel and by his works, it made it obvious that all their so-called works of righteousness and holiness were just sin. That's all they were. And so they wanted to kill Christ and ended up in eventually fulfilling God's will. They did. He laid down his life and killed him. He let them. He laid down his life. But brethren, what's the difference? Why did you believe? You had that same hatred. I had that same hatred. I didn't want to hear of Christ at all. And I certainly didn't want him to get all the glory. We were that way. What made the difference? God sanctified this gospel to your heart and made you see by his gospel and by which declared his perfect works, he made you see all your so-called works were vain. They were just sin. They were dead works because the Spirit of God sanctified that to your heart. And so you came to Christ the light, confessing he worked all the works of righteousness to make you righteous and holy. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so since Christ created us for his glory, as you suffer these fiery trials when men reject, not only is he going to keep you glorying in him by what he works through the gospel, he said, as you pass through these trials, he said, fear not, I've redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, you're mine. If men cast you into the fire, he said, the flame won't burn you. It's not even going to kindle upon you. Now, that's the promise of our Lord. Now, here we come today to the third time he says, fear not, and it's in relation as well. Let me read it before I move forward. Let me read this. You remember we saw this in Philippians. He said, strive together, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For it's given unto you not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. But he said, I'll keep you glorying in me. I'll bring you through it. Now here's the third time he says it, and it's in regard to a fear of men as well, but it's a little different way. This one he's saying is when we don't see people called out as quickly or called out in as great a numbers as we'd like to see, we start fearing man. We're fearful. And he says to us, fear not. That's what our text is dealing with. When you're not seeing people called out as quickly or in great numbers, he says, fear not. Fear not. He tells you, that obviously is a need we have, isn't it? We'll fear unless he says to you, fear not. Fear not. I'm with thee. You know, in each one of these passages we just read in Isaiah, every time Christ assured us, the way he assured us was declaring, I am with thee. Fear not, I am with thee. That's what he said in Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 43:2 there. He says, when you go through the fire, I'll be with thee. He says here, fear not, for I am with thee. When Christ gave the great commission for the church to go forth preaching the gospel in this world, that's the same way he gave assurance to us. He said, He came and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had all power as God, but he's talking about as the God-man. He went back to glory as the God-man mediator. And he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And he said, go forth preaching. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's the assurance we have. He's with his people. Whenever the Apostle Paul first went to Corinth, he was opposed. Nobody was believing. And it says in Acts 18:9, and spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. What do you think he said to Paul? Be not afraid. Fear not, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He commands us, fear not, I am with thee. Brethren, that's how he's going to keep his preacher just preaching the gospel. You know, our number one preeminent goal is to preach Christ. It's not to make disciples. Now, we want to see disciples made, and Christ will make disciples. But Paul said, he didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach Christ and him crucified. Because if you think your goal is to make disciples and you don't see people being called out, or you don't see as many being called out as you think they are, you know what a man will do? He'll take the offense out of the gospel so he can get the numbers that he thinks he ought to be seeing. That's why Christ has to speak in our heart and say, fear not, I'm with thee. Fear not, I'm with thee. And then he assures us with this word. He says, do not fear. He declares it's Christ himself who will call his lost sheep. He says in verse 5, fear not, I will bring. I will do the bringing. And then he says there, I will say. We see how foolish it is for sinners to boast in their will right here. It's so foolish for sinners to boast that they brought themselves to Christ and they by their will believed on Christ. Christ promises, I will bring my lost sheep. I will bring my lost sheep. Christ promises, I will say, I will speak and plant them. Because he speaks effectually in the hearts of his people. Blessed is the man, the psalmist said, whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. When he's chosen you and he's caused you to come, he said, you'll dwell in his courts and you'll be satisfied with the goodness of his house, even of his holy temple. That's the work he works. Why must a sinner be brought to faith in Christ by Christ's will rather than the sinner's will? That's a must. That's not just some minor doctrine. That is a must. Why? Because he said, I created him for my glory. Salvation is to give God the glory. When folks boast of their will, it is an evident token. You can mark this down. I can back this up with Scripture. It's an evident token. They have not been born of the Spirit of God and called to faith in Christ. When they're going around boasting that they brought themselves to Christ and by their will they accepted their Jesus. Listen to this. Ezekiel 39:27. There's a lot of scriptures, but I just want you to hear this one. Ezekiel 39:27. The Lord said, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land and left none of them anymore there. God said, when I've called, when I've brought them by my will, and I've spoken by my will into their heart, he said, they're not only going to know that I did the gathering, they're going to know I'm the one whose purpose it was that you went into captivity. God was ruling, and it was by his will that Adam fell in that garden and we went into captivity in the first place. The sin was all of Adam. The sin was all his fault, but it was not out of God's will and not out of God's purpose, because God had set up Christ from before the foundation of the world to glorify him. That was all a part of God's purpose. And he said, when I've called and gathered, they will know that I caused them to go into captivity, and they will know I gathered them. That's God's word. It's always amazed me how you sit here and you preach, and you just showed up one day. You folks that are sitting here now, you just showed up. I wasn't looking for you. I mean, I was looking for you, but I didn't know where you were. You just showed up. I remember not long after I came here, there was a person that they was here for a little while, and not very long, but they made a statement to me one day, and they said, you're going to have your work cut out for you chasing me and making sure I come back week after week. And I said, no. I said, I wasn't chasing you when you came here the first time. And I said, if God drew you and God has spoken and planted you, I said, I'm not going to have to chase after you. That's God's will. He said, I put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe you're the Christ. And then look at this next word. Christ assures us we have no reason to fear by declaring, now this, get this right here, by declaring that those lost sheep, they're your seed. Look at what he says, verse 5. Fear not, he says, fear not, for I am with thee, I will bring thy seed. That means your children. Scripture calls the church a mother. Now, I know the Roman Catholic has abused that, but I don't care. The Scripture still says it. If it says, Scripture says it is true, and we preach it because it's true. No matter who, even abuse everything in the Scripture. But the Scripture calls the church a mother, and it says Christ is our husband. And he's producing children through the incorruptible seed, through the preaching of the gospel. And so the lost sheep that Christ shall call, they are our seed. They're our children. They're our children. Look with me at Isaiah 49, verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. The banner is Christ. He said, I'll lift them up, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Look with me at Isaiah 54. You know, the Scripture says, you've probably read this Scripture a lot. You never applied it this way. But it's what it means spiritually. Psalm 113:9 says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean in terms of salvation? Well, in Isaiah 53, Christ redeemed his people. Christ came as a substitute and redeemed his people. And when Christ arose, when he arose to the right hand of the Father, the church looked like a barren wife, looked like a barren mother that had not many children. There was 120 people that were waiting at the day of Pentecost when he poured out the Holy Spirit. 120, that's all. That's all that was there from Christ's ministry, 120. But after Christ redeemed his people and he ascended to the Father, after he declares that in Isaiah 53, here comes the word in Isaiah 54, 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. The married wife was the Pharisees and those that had all the folks. And, you know, they were like, you see the picture in Hannah and Peninnah. You know, Peninnah had children, and so she boasted that she had children, and she persecuted Hannah because Hannah didn't have any children. Well, that's false religion that's got all their great multitudes boasting and persecuting those born of the Spirit of God, the barren. But look what the Lord said. Many more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Enlarge the place of your tent. He said you have to add on to your house because you're going to have more. Look at verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentile. Thy seed shall, thy children shall. They'll inherit the Gentiles. They'll make the desolate cities to be inhabited. How's all this going to happen? Verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. He's going to have people praising him throughout the whole earth. Throughout the whole earth. I'll show you one more place. Isaiah 59. I'm going to pass it, but I got to show you this. Isaiah 59, 21. Look at this. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that's upon thee, and my words which I've put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forevermore. That's certainty, brethren. That's the Lord saying, you're going to have children through this gospel, and your children's going to have children through this gospel, and it's all because the Lord is our maker, our husband, producing his children through the mother, his church. They're thy seed. Fear not, fear not. That's why you have not to fear. Now listen, when the Lord opens the door for you, and you got an opportunity to bear witness of Christ to somebody, and you might be a little fearful, a little intimidated because you've been rejected in the past. You know how people respond in the past. Just think on this next time. When you have an opportunity to speak the gospel to somebody, you think about this. This might be one of my children. Seriously, think about that. This might be one of my children. That's what the Lord promised. I'm going to call thy seed. I'm going to call your children. That'll give you a little confidence. The only way you're going to know is if you speak the word to them, because that's how they're going to be born, is through the word. All right, next thing. He assures us we have no reason to fear, because Christ shall call his people no matter where they are. He said, verse 5, fear not, for I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. I just saw this, but here's a blessing too. That those very ones he calls your seed, those very ones he calls your sons and daughters, in the next verse there, he calls them his sons and daughters. So there's a double assurance. They're his sons and daughters. All right, but look, he said, I'll bring them. Christ knows where his lost sheep are, brethren. He knows right where they are. North, south, east, west, he knows right where they are. Remember, Jesus said to Nathanael, he said, before Philip called you, he said, I saw you under the fig tree. He already knew everything about Philip. About Nathanael. Scripture says he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he knew he had one of his elect children when that Samaritan woman by the well. He must go through Samaria. He knows where his children are. This congregation is an example. We got brethren here from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and a long distance from afar. My grandfather used to say, sheep will travel a long ways for green pasture. You just don't find green pasture everywhere, do you? And no matter how the devil tries to keep Christ redeemed locked away and prevent this gospel from prevailing, the gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ. Christ said, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Listen, Psalm 22:27, after declaring that great word in the first verse, it ends with this, and it says, all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Not everybody, not all kindreds in all nations, not everybody, but his elect in all different kindreds, in all different nations, they shall worship before thee. What's the assurance? What makes that word sure? For the kingdom's the Lord's, and he's the governor among the nations. He's the governor. You turn over to Isaiah 51. I want you to see that. This right here is going to bless your heart. Christ is using his church to bless him. This is how much he's the governor among the nations. Remember, Isaiah said that the government's on his shoulder. And he, not only the government of the carnal nations, but the government to save God's people is on his shoulder. And he will save his people. Now here's how much the government's on his shoulder. Here's how much he is in power over everything. Christ is using you to preach, because it's through you and me preaching this gospel that Christ, as he's calling his people, he is making the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation. He makes his people a new creation, but he's making the new creation. Look here now, beginning verse 4. Hearken unto me, my people. Give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law, that's the gospel, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Mine arm shall judge the people, and the Gentiles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. That's what God declared in Isaiah 42. He's going to set judgment in the heart. He did it at the cross. He's going to set judgment in the heart. The Gentiles will trust him, and he will not fail. Now look, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. He's talking about this natural creation, the first creation. He said, look at all this. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be dissolved. See, that's what Paul was saying when he said the unseen things, they're the things that are eternal. The things Christ made, his righteousness, his salvation. Now watch. Hearken to me, you that know righteousness, you that know Christ is your righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, my gospel. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Look at verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. I'm with you. That's what he said. I'm with you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? He said, now look at the heavens, look at the earth. I made all this. It's all going to be dissolved, every bit of it. But then look at verse 15. Now he turns us to the new creation, and he turns us to why he's using you and me. Verse 15. But I'm the Lord thy God that divided the sea whose waves roared. He's talking about salvation now. He's talking about when he divided the sea and delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea. He's talking about salvation here now. That's what Christ did for us on the cross. He saved us. Now watch. Watch. The Lord of hosts is his name. That means he rules everything. Everything is his hosts, and he's ruling it all. He said, and I've put my words in thy mouth, and I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the new heavens and lay the foundations of the new earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Every time he calls one of his people, brethren, he makes them a new creation, creating a new man in them, making them see Christ as their righteousness and their holiness, and they're saved entirely by him. And when he's called every single one of us in, the new heavens and the new earth will entirely be the creation of Christ Jesus our Lord. And he's saying, I put my word in your mouth, I'm hiding you in a covering you with my hand so that you go forth and preach this gospel. And by it, every time he calls one of his people, he's calling them into the new heaven. And every time he calls one of his people, he's laying the foundations of the new earth. That's what he said, saying to my people, thou art my people. You see how much he's the governor? You see how much he is? He made this first creation. He makes the new creation. And he's doing it through us preaching this gospel. We have no reason to fear. I don't see people being called out. I don't see a big number. There is never, ever, ever any mistakes with our God. He's calling every one of his people right on time, right according to his purpose, and he will not lose one. Not one. And here's the most assuring word of all. This is where I began. This is what the word I began with right here. The reason that we can be assured is because even before he calls his lost sheep personally, in our text, he already called them by name, he already created them, and he already formed them, and he already made them. Look here. Look now, chapter 43, look at verse 6. He says in the middle there, I will, that's future tense, I will bring thy seed. All right, now look at verse 7. He said, I will bring them. And he said, verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You see, all the Lord's people, they were called, created, formed, and made by him when God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Every one of them were. Paul used the same word to encourage Timothy. He said, God hadn't called us to fear. He'd given us a sound mind and a loving heart. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He said, nor me, he is prisoner. Be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I ordained you. Christ already redeemed his people. And get this, brethren, the lost sheep that are in this world right now, they're seated with Christ in glory, just as sure as you are that he's already called. They're seated there. He said, he came and redeemed us. And he said in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, already redeemed, already a son, because you are sons, he said, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father, because you already were son. Brethren, you can rest right there. David said, the Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? In the time of trouble, he'll hide me in the pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He'll set me on a rock, and therefore I'll offer praise in his church, in his tabernacle. I'll offer sacrifices of joy. I'll sing praises to the Lord. I hope that gives you reason not to fear, brethren. We have every reason not to fear. It's all in the hand of the Lord. He's calling his people right on time. All right, Brother Adam. Brother Ravi, will y'all pass out the elements?